A curve underestimated for 140 years. In 1885, German psychologist Hermann Ebbinghaus used himself as the subject, memorizing thousands of meaningless syllables and testing how many he could recall after different intervals, drawing the first forgetting curve. The result is plain. 20 minutes after learning, forget about 42%, 1 hour, about 56%, 1 day, about 74%, after 6 days only about 25% remains. The first time I saw this curve was while preparing for IELTS. I only thought it scary and did not treat it as a method. Until I scheduled the 80 words I memorized daily by it, a month later retention went from about 30% to 80%, and I was truly convinced. The key message of the curve is not people forget, but how fast you forget depends on when you look back. The more timely the early reviews, the slower the later forgetting. This is the entire physical basis of spaced repetition. My programmer friend Shin Hang in Hangzhou, 32, was brushing up algorithms for a job jump, memorizing words and formulas together. He scheduled by my table for 8 weeks and self-tested retention steady above 80%, nearly double his old weekend cram. This section, remember one number, without review, only about 26% remains after 1 day. All later moves are about rescuing that number. What exactly is spaced repetition? The core sentence of spaced repetition is do not memorize all at once, at the node about to forget but not yet, come back and retrieve once. Each retrieval pushes the next forgetting further away. It is often confused with distributed practice, but the point is both spacing plus active recall happen together. Spacing without recall is browsing, recall without spacing is a quiz. Only the two combined is spaced repetition. Neurologically, this corresponds to memory reconsolidation. Each successful retrieval reactivates that memory in the hippocampus and strengthens the synapse. Brain imaging studies observed spaced retrieval groups had more stable hippocampal activation and higher long-term retention. Chin Hang's exact words, "I used to think more repetitions were enough. Now I understand that one look on day 7 is 10 times more useful than cramming the 7th pass the same day." That sentence captures the essence of spaced repetition. So spaced repetition is not working harder, but picking time better. Put force on the inflection point of forgetting and you get more with less. For review nodes you must catch, turn the forgetting curve around and you get a review schedule. The most stable 4 nodes are, the day you learn, within 20 minutes, the next day, day 7, day 30. Each node needs only minutes of retrieval. Node 1, same day right after learning is when false mastery is easiest. Close the book and write keywords. Mark stuck ones red, that is the first cut of the day. Node 2, next day sleep has consolidated around for you, look back now and clear yesterday's red dots. Studies show next day review can lift 1 week retention from about 40% to about 65%. Node 3, day 7, and node 4, day 30, these are the two gates turning short-term into long-term. Barrick's long tracking shows those who still reviewed at day 30 kept about 80% even after 8 years. Chin Hang set the 4 nodes as phone reminders, not relying on memory. After 8 weeks, he described it as like putting 4 insurances on memory, rarely again clearly memorized yet cannot recall. Why massed review fails? Massed review, cramming, stuffs content in one go, propped up by short-term familiarity. Pull an all-nighter before the exam, next day looks all known, a week later basically zero. This is countless people's personal data. The reason, memory storage strength and retrieval strength are two different things. Cramming makes storage strength falsely high but retrieval strength very low. Spaced repetition attacks retrieval strength, so it lasts. One classroom contrast, two groups learned the same chapter, the cram group finished at once, the spaced group learned 4 times at forgetting nodes. Unit test close, but 1 month later the tracking test had the spaced group about 30 percentage points higher. Chin Hang's early style was typical cramming. 4 hours of hard memorizing on weekends, fluent Monday, forgotten Friday. After switching to spacing, total time was actually less because he no longer repeated what was already firmly remembered. Cramming wins in present comfort, loses in long-term forgetting. Spaced repetition reverses it. A bit harder now, much peace of mind later. Automate spacing with the Leitner box. In the 1970s, German teacher Sebastian Leitner proposed the Leitner box. Prepare 5 boxes, box 1 review daily, box 2 every other day, box 3 weekly, box 4 monthly, box 5 quarterly. The rule is minimal. Draw a card, if answered correctly move to the next box, interval lengthens, if wrong send back to box 1, redo immediately. You always spend the most energy on the least familiar batch. Behind it is optimal spacing. The more familiar, the longer the review interval, no wasted time. The less familiar, the more frequent, not letting it slip. The algorithm of modern vocabulary apps is essentially an upgraded Leitner box. Chen Heng did not use an app, he used physical cards plus 5 paper boxes and was more focused. He said the feel of flipping a card by hand sticks better than swiping a screen, finishing 2 plus boxes of professional words in 8 weeks. You need not invent a new method. The Leitner box proves, hand spacing to the system, and a person only manages can you answer, and you win most of it. Bring spaced repetition into 3 daily scenes. Scene 1, language learning. New words reviewed at the 4 nodes day/next/week/month. Use the app's familiarity to auto-adjust interval, easier than a handwritten table. Scene 2, skill learning. Practicing guitar, do not play 2 hours a day, but 20 minutes daily, adding a new position every other day. Muse.